Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the December 7 edition of Commodity Week. Ended its two-week rally with the one-day drop of 15 cents Friday. Barge traffic on the Mississippi in late December and January remains uncertain, and China just keeps buying soybeans. Have the two crops unhooked? We'll find out today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Michael Cordonnier of Soybean and Corn Advisor. Our panelists in studio today include Aaron Curtis of Midco out of Bloomington, Illinois, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from Newmarket, Indiana. And on the phone from Mandeville, Louisiana at CGB Enterprises is Dan Zwicker. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at ADM.com/FarmerView.
Well, let's open today's discussion with this question. It appears demand, Aaron Curtis, may force corn and soybeans in opposite directions. If it does, will it cause U.S. farmers to reconsider their planting intentions for the coming growing season?
I think it's one thing to consider. I think we saw that bright and well in yesterday's export sales report with bean sales over 40 million and corn at a dismal just 2 million once again. I think that's one factor. I think we're going to see some more beans anyway next year based on corn-on-corn issues once again this year, and also some of the dry weather we continue to experience in parts of the West, and even in parts of the Eastern Corn Belt where we're still going to need some moisture here as we move into the spring. I think one thing farmers are looking for too is just kind of this longer window that beans give them as opposed to corn, where we kind of got to hit that rain right at the one time. But I think what's going to be interesting when we see it once again in the December crop report next Tuesday is those two demand areas for exports on both corn and beans are going to come into focus.
Wayne Nelson?
I would have to agree with Aaron. I think that as we look ahead here, and we also maybe get into the planting season or the start of it or the thoughts of it come February, that if we're going to look at what the prices are for crop insurance, number one, and also what the drought situation is. You know, we continue to hear about forecasters like Elwin Taylor say that we're going to continue to see dry conditions in the West, less than a 50% chance of trendline yields. And we saw NOAA saying that the drought outlook and the dry plains in the Western Midwest look to remain dry at least through March.
And Dan Zwicker.
I think when you look at the corn-soybean ratio, the corn-wheat ratio, and the corn-cotton ratio, it all points to me that all three of those commodities are going to have to are going to rally to try to pull some acres away from corn. I actually think if anybody did a real survey of what farmers are going to plant, I think it would be right up against 100 million acres of corn. And the reason I say that is that the crop insurance products bailed everybody out this year. especially with the high price in the fall, if they had the second option, that bailed everybody out. And I think the farmers are going to bet on a more normal weather pattern, and they want to plant corn. And I actually think the corn planting number is closer to 197.5 that some in the trade are using. So somewhere here along the line, either corn is going to collapse on them, or soybeans and wheat's going to take off like a rocket. But there's going to be some shifting take place here, I think, after the first of the year.
When you look at that ratio, the spread, Dan, it changed, at least in the nearby contracts, but about 48 to 49 cents this week. That despite the fact that January beans lost 19 cents on Friday, they were it still was a pretty good size change in that ratio for the week.
Yeah, but I'm looking at the new crop ratios on everything. I think that's what they're going to be looking at. And I mean, farmers, I mean, at 6:37 tonight on Dee's Corn, I'm not too sure there's too many people booking 6:37. And there's a shot of that reason. That's could go back to 550 this winter, and for the February average, I'm not too sure how many corn acres will be planted at that.
Well, wait a second. So at 6:37, corn's got to buy acres, or the
no,
other way
lose
around?
Acres.
It's going to lose.
I think there are already 100 there ready to be planted.
So you think it needs to really drop?
Well,
or soybeans
think,
need to go.
Yeah,
really high.
I think soybean acres are real short, and I think wheat acres are real short. So, if you're gonna have some bean acres around and wheat acres, you're gonna have to have those commodities rally to kind of pull some spring wheat acres in. I guess the winter wheat crop's already in, but I think. I think there's 100 million acres of corn already there ready to plant. And so my guess is once the market begins to get a feel of that, so new crop soybeans are going to have to rally to try to pull some acres away from corn to get their share. Otherwise, we're going to have a super short bean crop. Now, we may need it. I don't know. It depends on how big South America turns out to be, and we'll find out here in a little bit. Maybe we don't need a big bean crop, but I think, like I said, I just looking at farmers, looking them in the eyes, I know they're going to plant corn, and I think there's a lot of corn to be planted this year.
December corn, by the way, this week had a high of $7.32¾, or rather $7.59. Its low was at $7.31½. Its settlement price was at $7.32¾. That was down 15¼ from last Friday's close. And December of next year at $6.37¾ was up 2¼ on the week. Aaron, when you look at the marketplace on the near term, from your point of view, a vantage in an elevator, how does the low flow and water levels on the Mississippi River, in particular the expected closing between St. Louis and Cairo, impact basis?
Well, it's kind of making everybody kind of back away right now. Of course, we still got more questions than answers at this point. We did see some rain earlier this week in that St. Louis area, so help levels stabilize a little bit. We're getting some ice melt up in the upper northern corn belt that's coming down and helping things out and kind of prolonging this date. You know, the 10th was kind of a magic number, and it looks like that's going to be kind of backed off here a little bit now with some of this increase. And we'll see what happens with this rain event over the next few days. We got rain chance just about every day here for the next week and a half. So hopefully we can get some heavy rains out of that and kind of stabilize this thing. It sounds like the Army Corps is going to start some pinnacle work around the 1st of January, and estimate might take, you know, 40 to 50 days to get that done. So hopefully we can kind of limp along here a little bit. But obviously from the basis standpoint, with all these questions and not a lot of knowns at this point, everybody's kind of backing away. And we've not only seen it in the basis, but also in the nearby spread starting to widen out.
Where would you normally send grain? Would it go from Bloomington to the Illinois River in Peoria, or
Well, our customer base, what we do in Midco is just we handle the hedging and merchandising for different elevators throughout Illinois. So our different customer elevators have different places where they unload grain or where they sell grain. But this time of year, traditionally, is typically a time for elevators to be moving beans, especially along the Illinois River with, you know, typically the bean export program. You can divide it into two halves of the year, and traditionally the U.S. Capitalizes on the beginning of the year. And right now we have a large book on, of course, of beans out of the Gulf and or on the export program, and that's limiting some of the ability to source those beans and get those beans moved down the Mississippi River. So there are some alternative transportation things that are coming up to kind of help alleviate that by some rail issues, some rail things that are helping move those beans.
I think that's what I want you to talk about, and maybe if you can stay with me for just a second.
Sure.
Can you see that in the big board or in your picture, that in your mind, the difference between the rail basis and the river basis and how it differs this year than it has in previous years because of the potential closing of the Mississippi River in that one, you know, not very long stretch?
Yeah, I think historically we've seen some very good values trading in the last couple of years based on, you know, this big book that traditionally is on the books here is this time of year. And we've seen those basis levels back up due to that concern. Now, river markets along the Illinois are trying to get all the beans they can in before the river closes, which we don't know what that date is. So they've been very busy on moving things, even taking some weekend hours, staying open late, those kind of things to try to get as many beans as possible. Moving on to barges before their draft levels continue to decrease or, you know, get to the point where we could actually see the river shut down. But we are seeing some locations in Illinois looking more towards the rail side and trying to get beans on rail and trying to get those down to the Texas Gulf and the Center Gulf here to kind of bypass that stretch of the Mississippi River.
January beans this week at a high of $14.98 and a quarter. They're low at $14.36. Their settlement price at $14.72 and a quarter was up 33 and a half cents from last week. That despite that 19-cent loss that happened on Friday. And November beans, Wayne Nelson, at $13.29, up 24 and a half cents. Have producers been looking to take advantage of the uptick in the price of beans, or are they just being patient?
Most of them are being patient, Todd. We have seen a little activity as far as wanting to hedge some new crop beans, but it's very, very small and very cautious. Oh, we were talking about the other thing. Mendota, Illinois, the train loading platform there, did load their first 100-car train of beans that they'd ever loaded. It's always just been corn going out of there. But they did load a 100-car train of beans this week in Mendota.
And so it was railing to the Gulf?
To the Gulf.
So it was headed to the Gulf, probably to help fulfill maybe some needs that would be at the elevator that belongs to CGB and Zinno Grain that Dan Zwicker works for. So the bean pace for exports has been really strong, Dan. Do you expect it to continue to be that case, that way?
It looks that way. I mean, they probably bought 15 cargoes this week. So they continue to be steady buyers. Now, at what point in time that ends, I don't know. But it's going to be real difficult to move those beans out of the Gulf this winter. I mean, the CN, which goes down through central Illinois and on into our export facility there in Convent, is just booked. I mean, we have larger rail capacity. We could handle more trains than they can get in there. So that's fully booked. The other thing, though, that you have to keep in mind that people saw this coming. So it's not just a shocker that it's right been in front of us. So there are a lot of barges floating out south of those areas. The Illinois River started moving, as many bean barges as they could this fall. And get down underneath that low water. So there's a lot of loose barges that they ain't floating by themselves. But what I'm telling you that they've moved a lot of barges and they're sitting waiting to be unloaded. So, like I said, this didn't come just about the last week. Anybody in the grain trade knew that we were going to get in trouble. So there was a lot of moving of barges down south before this river does shut down there sometime here, maybe the end of the month.
You know, Todd, one of the things we saw this week was the Gulf basis on beans was $1.30 over, and last year at this time was just 60 to 65 over.
So it's just really strong.
Well, it's helping to pay for the extra freight going around is what it amounts to get them there. That increased 28 cents over the last 2 weeks, trying to get that done.
So we've got a bean market that's really strong. We have a corn demand that is not particularly strong. And again, I come back to the question we started with, which is, will this thing unhook? And maybe we'll have you quickly say yes or no, it will, and it'll open
wide. I think
up.
As long as the demand is there for beans, it's going to stay. The bean basis is going to stay strong, and we've got to get to the point where South America or whoever is selling corn cheaper than us runs out of corn.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think it's more watching some of these corn exporters and seeing how our prices compare to some of those FOB values in world, and see how that relationship changes over the next few weeks.
10 seconds, Dan.
I think you'll see corn struggle. Beans will probably try to buy some acres.
We'll be back in just a couple minutes. We'll talk with Michael Cordonnier about the South American soybean crop here on Commodity Week.
I'm meteorologist Ed Kieser with a look at the weather for corn and soybean production areas in South America. It was another wet week for major corn and soybean areas in Argentina. Rainfall of 2 to 7 inches brought planting to a stop yet again. Planting of corn and soybeans and harvesting of winter wheat in Argentina remain well behind average due to wetness. A drier and warmer weather pattern is expected over the next 10 days, and that should gradually improve conditions for field work, but for some fields it will take some time to dry out. While a needed drier weather pattern is expected across Argentina next week and beyond, it will not be completely dry. A few cool fronts will pass through, triggering widely scattered thunderstorms in northern and eastern areas on Monday, later next week, and during the weekend that follows. During the past week, Paraguay was mostly dry and hot, while western parts of South Brazil turned wet. 3 to 5 inches of needed rain fell in western Rio Grande do Sul, western Santa Catarina, and southern Paraná. It had been turning dry there, so rainfall was beneficial to crops. Meanwhile, more rain is needed. Scattered thunderstorms are expected across South Brazil and Paraguay during the next week to 10 days. Rainfall of 1.5 to 3 inches should stabilize the soil moisture situation. Farther north, in center-west and southeast Brazil and Bahia, many areas started turning drier this past week. Growing conditions remain good, but a continuation of a drier weather pattern will have us watching the area closely. In particular, southern Mato Grosso and Mato Grosso do Sul and eastern portions of Minas Gerais and Bahia have not seen much rain of late. A few thunderstorms will dot the region in the coming week, but daily coverage is expected to remain below average. That is your South American weather update for Commodity Week. I'm meteorologist Ed Kieser.
This is the December 7 edition of Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at ADM.com/FarmerView.
Our panelists today include Aaron Curtis of Midco, Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities on the phone line from Hinsdale, Illinois. At Soybean and Corn Advisor is Michael Cordonnier. Thank you so much for taking the time with us today, Michael.
Always my pleasure.
All right, so the question really is, can the South Americans provide a large soybean crop in the coming months? And then maybe you might put that in context with what it means for the United States in the next growing season.
Well, we're on track for a big crop out of South America. I have Brazil at 80 million tons of soybeans and Argentina at 56 million. Now, the Brazilian crop did start off a little bit slow. There was some dry weather at the initial part of the growing season. And there has been some recent dry weather down in southern Brazil. But as your weather forecast just mentioned, they did get some rain over the last couple of days. The Brazilian soybean crop is about 90% planted. And about 10% of the crop is starting to flower. So, and I would rate the crop probably 95% good and maybe 5% average. So nothing has happened yet in Brazil to preclude not having a big crop. Now, there is some concern if this dryness in southern Brazil would persist or redevelop because we don't have an El Nino or La Nina. And if you have neutral positions out in the Pacific, sometimes that brings you dry weather to southern Brazil. In Argentina, as they mentioned in the report, a lot of rain. Very heavy rains there. The corn crop is only about 55% planted. Now, they only advanced 3% over the last 7 days. And the corn crop is about 14% behind the average planting pace. And it's very late for corn. It's already, you know, the end of the first week of December. And the end of the planting window is maybe a week or 10 days out. For soybeans, you can plant soybeans later in Argentina, up until the 1st of January. The earlier the better, but you could plant until 8 January. Now, the soybeans are 54% planted, and they went up 9% in 1 week, but they're still 15 points behind. So both of these crops are really struggling in Argentina, and I think there's going to be a problem getting all that corn planted. They're going to run out of time, and some are just going to stay wet too late. Now, that might switch some acres over to soybeans in Argentina, but the soybeans are being planted very late as well, so you have to wonder about the yield prospect of some of those late soybeans. Right now, I would say it's the corn in Argentina that's been impacted the most. The soybean crop in Brazil, if you add up all the countries, I have it at about 150 million tons, and that's about 35 million tons more than last year. So it's going to be a much bigger crop this year.
Michael, in terms of some of the acres in Argentina not getting planted, can you compare that to our time frame as far as spring, like what would be kind of a drop date as far as some of that acres just not getting planted at all?
Yeah, Argentina basically is like the month of June for us. And if it's, you know, the 7th or 8th of June and you still got half of your corn to plant, you can plant it for probably another 2 weeks. But past that, I don't think they'd plant corn. It kind of depends on your location. The window closes a lot sooner in southern Argentina and is open longer up in northern Argentina. Now, the soybeans, you got another month to go to plant soybeans. So if they give up on the corn, you can do more beans. To give you an example, this week, or I should say the last 7 days, they planted 1.7 million hectares of soybeans and 90,000 hectares of corn. So they planted about 18.5 times more soybeans than corn. So you can see what their emphasis is, get the soybeans in the ground. Last week it was even worse. It was 20 times more acres of soybeans than corn went in the ground last week. So they're working on the soybeans right now.
As we heard this week that Brazil snuck back into the market with some more corn sales for January, are they soon going to be out of corn?
Well, there's still corn in the pipeline. There's still corn out in Mato Grosso, left over from last year's Safrinha corn crop. And CONAB is now estimating, I think, 20 million ton corn exports out of Brazil. This corn thing has been amazing coming out of Brazil. I think the month of November, they exported, I think, 3.2 million tons of corn. And every month is like a record amount of corn. They front-loaded the beans, of course, so now basically the only thing coming out of Brazil is corn, so they got the capacity at the ports to move corn. They might move a little corn in January, yes.
Yeah, Michael, you mentioned that they're in Argentina that they're planting beans at quite a bit compared to corn. Now, why is it that they can plant beans versus corn if it's wet down there? And if they are already switching to soybeans, doesn't that tell you that maybe they'll have a whole a much larger soybean production than what everybody's thinking, a much more corn production number?
It could be. They have like two planting seasons for corn. If you don't get your corn planted by the end of October, they like to pause planting of corn during November. Because if you plant in November, then it's going to pollinate during the peak of the heat and the potential dryness in the summertime. Okay. So they like to skip November and then resume planting in December. But you make a very good point. If they're doing so many more beans right now, maybe some of those beans are what was supposed to be corn. And they're not going to do that corn, you know, in the end. I had already lowered my Argentine corn area 10%. I did that a couple of weeks ago when they started to get all these flooding rains, and I just assumed it was going to take too long to dry out. And sure enough, we even got a lot more rain this week. You know, I saw some pictures out of Argentina just yesterday. The water was up to the top of the fence post, and it was as far as you can see to the horizon. So a field like that is not going to do anything this year.
Okay, but how can they plant beans if they can't plant corn if it's that wet, I guess?
Yeah, because they're planting the beans in more northern areas.
Yeah, okay.
And the corn is more down in the central part.
Okay.
So they're planting the beans where it didn't rain as much until last night. It rained a lot there last night.
Why is it that Brazil now seems to be a player in the corn market? What happened there that changed the economics for them to put corn in the ground, to be able to move it into the marketplace? They haven't in the past. Surely they must have a much larger crop than they used to.
A much larger. And the big mega trend in Brazilian corn production has been that second crop of corn following soybeans. This past year, the second crop of corn surpassed the full season corn for the first time ever. And that second crop was produced in Mato Grosso and in Paraná. And up in Mato Grosso, not only is the soybean acreage going up, but the percent of soybeans followed by corn is going up. This year, I should say last year, about 37% of all the soybean acres in that state was followed by second crop of corn. And that's probably going to be even higher this year. Another thing, they had just fantastic production of that second crop of corn last year. It rained until the end of June. That was 2 months longer than normal. So the second crop of corn in Mato Grosso averaged, I think it was 94 bushels per acre. The long-term trend is like 74, 75 bushels per acre. So they had a tremendous increase in production due to just a fantastic year. Now, I worry a little bit about this corn, though, because that second crop is very risky. If you have a really good season, it does very well. But the rainy season might end a month or two earlier than normal, and when that happens, instead of 95 bushel corn, you get 50 bushel corn. So having Brazil do more than half of the corn as a second crop is a risky proposition.
Michael, real quickly, what's your feel on what South American producers feel on corn and bean prices right now?
They're encouraged. Well, they were more encouraged before this recent drop, of course. They forward contracted a lot. They haven't done much lately. So they're very encouraged about it. They are upset about all the transportation issues and the cost of moving the stuff around the country and that sort of thing. But the actual prices are pretty favorable.
Thanks so much, Michael.
Always my pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Michael Cordonnier is at Soybean and Corn Advisor in Hinsdale, Illinois. A quick word from each of you. We'll start with you, Dan Zwicker.
Looking forward to renewing a lot of old acquaintances when I'm up north next week. If you're in an area that has a CGB facility, give them a call and find out when I'm going to be there, because I'd enjoy seeing you again and visiting.
Aaron Curtis?
Enjoy the last crop report that will be released at 7:30 a.m. on Tuesday.
That's true. We started in January at a different time. And Wayne Nelson?
Hey, it was really great to hear Ed Kieser back on the air here in Champaign.
All right. That wraps up this edition of Commodity Week for the December 7th date. I'm Todd Gleason.